Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us this wonderful opportunity to come into your presence on this holy day, the day that you have given us to worship you. We want to thank you for this church, thank you for the pastor and the families that have gathered here. Lord, thank you. Speak to us and glorify your name. We thank you for all the children who have come forward in singing praises to you. Bless the children and their desire also. We commit ourselves. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So church, I just want to thank the Lord for giving me this wonderful opportunity to be with you here this evening and share God's word. I thank Pastor Nimesh Bernard and the church elders for this opportunity. As Pastor said, you all know me. I represent the ministries of Vishwavani. I have been coming here since few years, and we want to thank you for Devasaimanan, his association with the ministry and his encouragement for the work in India. In fact, he and Akka have come to Hyderabad, our mission fields, last year, and he might have given you some updates on that. So Pastor said it's 15 minutes. I'm going to keep on time. I already switched on my stopwatch, and I'll be very brief. So it's a joy once again to see each one of you. As these kids are, singing, what did you watch or what did you observe? The kids are singing. Wonderful. I appreciate all the, parents or especially mothers, because, mothers were very much anxious and all. What did you see? No answer? Huh? Boldness. Yeah. Smartness. Did you say that, Pastor? Confidence. Yeah. Confidence on this thing. Any other thing? So, I was fortunate to sit beside our pastor, because you were all seeing the kids, I was seeing the mothers. Kids were confident, kids were very enterprising, and they were just doing the best job that they can do. I was looking at the mothers. Here I think I was able to see some three mothers. The mothers were really, I don't say tensed, but they wanted their kids to do the best. And as I want to, incorporate that into the word this evening, all the mothers want their children, their goal was to see that their children are done exceptionally good. So this evening's topic, which I have taken, is also Christian goal. So when God looks at us, how does God look at us? We are feeble, we are weak, we are earthen vessels, we have no, merits and scholarship, merits and, degrees, which will make us as an exceptional man. But our God's goal is, our God looks at us so that he may want to see that perfection in each one of us at some point of our lives. We are all on the way to perfection, but we are not perfect. A day will come, we will become perfect. So I just want to, here, as it is written in our bulletin, the main verse, it comes, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul says this. We have to understand this. Paul is, so confidently saying this word. And when he talks something like this, I say that he needs to have some guts. Everyone wants to live. But here he says, if at all I want to live, for my life is for Christ, and I consider dying as a gain. Looking at Paul, the way he has come into the ministry, you look at his background, every time, everywhere, Paul was a ferocious man. Before coming to Christ, he was same. After coming to Christ, he was still more ferocious. So, if you look at the, Paul's epistles, I just want to, say very briefly, all his epistles contribute to the growth of a Christian. Or in another sense, they are talking about the goal that we should have. So I picked up something like this. I'm, going to say a few words from Philippians. It talks about Christian happiness. It talks about Christian sacrifice. It talks about Christian partnership. It talks about Christian growth. It talks about Christian destiny. It talks about Christian goal. So, as I, read or meditate on Paul's these things, what we continuously look at Paul is, I segregated something like this. His letters are very personal. His letters are personal, and his letters are passionate. I say something like this, if you read Paul's letters and still don't change yourself, there is a problem in you. Because often, Paul's letters are so personal, he says, I beseech you, I beg you, please mend your ways, set yourself right. And, Paul's letters are progressive. Paul's letters are proactive. Paul's letters are, provocative. If you still read them, meditate them, and if you are same, usually or often we use this provocative word in a negative sense. But today, Paul's letters pinches us, tells something that we should do for Christ. So coming to the Philippian church, this church has been founded in Paul's second journey when he was, in this Roman province. And we look at this, and there was some problem. This book or epistle of Paul has 4 chapters. I just want to give you, already it is 8 minutes, I have another 5 minutes. So, 4 important things that you and I need to consider to have a particular or a targeted life in our in our race as we go forward. Number one, Paul talks to this church and says in chapter 1, 27th verse, he says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He says, whatever happens, conduct in a manner worthy of the gospel. Today, I just want you to ponder upon this. How is our conduct? This morning I was in Ashburn, Virginia. One preacher was talking and he was telling, on Sundays, I don't know, it was his opinion. He said like this, on Sundays is the best day for the Christians to act. Pastor said, family or husband and wife, that was his version. They have lots of fight or something or whatever it is. They come to the church in a different attitude. Oh, they pretend, they, kind of do acting so that they are the best people or best couple, best family members, best Christians or so. Paul is talking something like this. For me, he says, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. In Vishwavani ministry, as we work in villages and we work among first generation Christians, we talk to them. They are, you know, babes in Jesus. We tell them, on Sundays, you are a gathered Christian. Rest of the days, you are a scattered Christian. Can we say hallelujah? On Sundays, you are a gathered Christian. Rest of the week, you are a scattered Christian. Today, if I, you know, tell something about the ministry, 1993, June 1st, we started with one village. And today, we are working in 8,000 plus villages. It is because the believers, you know, they go and share Jesus to every one of them. Last year, we had a, VBS. We were able to reach throughout the country almost like 50,000 kids. And you know what happened? In one village in Andhra Pradesh, a kid went and gave gospel to her father, mother. She told, "Mom, what we are doing here, you know, worshiping these idols, these are all useless. Come to Jesus." That was the word he said. You know, long story short, today her father is the elder of that church. He has been a serpent. You know, God is doing amazing things. It is all how we conduct. So that's why Paul is telling, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Second chapter, you know, Paul says this. He talks like this. In the fifth verse, he says, your attitude should be that, your attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You know, he talks about attitude. Conduct, number two is attitude. So in, you know, if you see second and third and fourth verses, he says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider yourself better than consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to the your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And he goes further and he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Our conduct, number two, is our attitude. And further he talks about Jesus, the best model. He left heaven and he did not consider equality with God, but he came. He's telling, have this attitude, Paul. And in the third chapter, he talks about in 13th verse, and 13 and 14, he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If you look at all our calling, you know, God called us to be his own. And we have to every day look at our calling. In Ephesians, you know, Paul again talks to the church in 4th chapter, 1st verse, he says, you know, he talks something like this. You know, he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So here Paul says that I consider, you know, I forget everything and I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. You know, we need to have some goal in our life. Vishwani has a goal. Last year we were able to construct 101 church buildings. Some of you have seen the presentation. So this year we have a vision to construct 150 churches in the most unreached places. And you know, when I talk about this, last year, our 3,000 plus baptisms are only in North India. We think it is closed, but you know, the Holy Spirit God is opening. Because The servants of God who are going have only one goal, that is to give Jesus to them. We were encountered with Naxalites in some areas. So one time, the Naxalites doubted us. They thought that we are going to loot or we have come to rob the tribals. But you know, when our pastors and the ministry went on peacefully, without any selfish ambition, Naxalites recognized that Vishwani is a different organization which has come so that, you know, these people may find the life in Jesus. So what is our goal? And finally, in chapter 4, fourth verse, it says, my time is up and I'm just closing. It says, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. In what or in which lies our joy? Do we rejoice because we have possessions, or do we rejoice because we have Jesus? I just want to say one small illustration. Pastor, another 30 seconds. One lady, we were in a, you know, giving baptism. She was 9 months pregnant. You can understand how her condition was. So they were all in a queue. When she came there, pastor said, why don't you take your baptism after you give birth to the baby? And this lady said, giving birth to a baby for a woman is something like a new birth. I don't know whether I live or not. And she told, let me testify the Lord whom I have trusted. I tell you, whenever I think of this verse, rejoice in the Lord, again I say rejoice, she comes to my mind. She says, there is no other joy to testify for the Lord who saved me. How are we doing in our Christian life? Do we take time to bring that joy out of our lives, in our workplaces, in our church, anywhere, somewhere? You know, God is looking at each one of us. Our goal should be to bring glory to God. And people should see that in every action of our life. May God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor, for the word. Christian goals, beautifully, he described and elaborated 4 points in 15 minutes. That's a gift of God. And thank you for all the testimonies he's bringing that actually motivates our spirit to do more outside of this church. Man, when you hear testimonies like that, when people are getting baptized, people are getting touched, people are getting healed, people are getting saved. As a church, we have to look, say, church, what do we do, God, as a next step? How long are we going to just church the churched? When are we going to reach the community? When am I going to reach my people, my neighbors, the people I work with? When am I going to talk about the love of Christ to them? Man, I don't know whether you felt it, I felt it. It's time we take the love of God outside of these four walls and into the community so that we can lead them into Christ. Amen. I expected a louder amen. Amen. Now we are going to move into adults. First I have Shirani Paul auntie.